The Youth's Instructor, October 12, 1899. We Have Seen His Star, Part 2. From various sources, the Magi of the East had learned of the expectation that one was to be born who should be king of the Jews. God was flashing his light upon those who were searching for truth. And while the priests and rulers of the Jewish nation, knowing not the time or manner of the Messiah's coming, though prophecy had plainly revealed this, were living in expectation of welcoming a king who would bring to their nation riches, honor, and power, there were those far less highly privileged who were diligently searching for a knowledge of the great events that were to take place. Many were praying for light in regard to the Deliverer, who, they had been told, was to come as a warrior, subduing the world to himself by his power. Their faith and their religious customs did not satisfy the wants of the soul. They were hungering and thirsting for a knowledge of the God of whom they knew so little. They remembered the words spoken by Balaam when he was urged to curse Israel. Balaam had a knowledge of the true God, and he claimed to be converted. But his education and experience in magic held a bewitching power over him. And when solicited by Balak to curse Israel, he was urged by his infatuation to do so. He longed to obtain riches and renown by cursing Israel, but the Lord told him he would not allow him to practice his incantations and sorceries against his people. And when Balaam rose up to do as the king of Moab had requested him to, his lips uttered words very different from the words the king hoped to hear spoken. And Balak said unto Balaam, "What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether." In answer to the king's remonstrance, Balaam said, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God brought?" Again the controlling power of God came upon Balaam, and once more he uttered words entirely contrary to his inclinations. As he saw Israel abiding in their tents, according to their tribes, the veil of the future was removed, and he saw the prosperity that would attend them. He knew that one whom Satan and all his host could not overcome was standing in Israel's defense. And he exclaimed, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys they are spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." These prophecies in regard to Christ's advent had been impressed upon minds from century to century. Devout men were waiting in anxious expectancy for a deliverer to appear. They were seeking earnestly for truth, praying for a clear knowledge of the God whom, as yet, they but dimly comprehended. Truth was being revealed to them. It was sweeping away the dark clouds of idolatry. For God ever reveals himself to the humble seeker for light.